Fast am I. Hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. Garth commissioners say the devastating floods in Laxey could have been avoided. They can see clearly now the rain has gone and want government to accept responsibility and take clear action. And take it or leave it, that's Chris Thomas's message to Tynwald members as he puts forward a plan to modernise rates, but critics aren't sure if his proposals are any fairer than the current system. The major flooding which struck Laxey last week could have been avoided, according to the chairman of Garth Commissioners. Jamie Smith admits the authority is frustrated with the lack of preventative action from central government and will continue to push to ensure the village is protected in future. In the wake of the major weather event, emergency services and volunteers have been helping residents salvage possessions and remove damaged furniture. There's also a hardship fund being launched by Onkron Rotary Club at the request of Garth commissioners. Well, local authority member Nigel Dobson and chairman of the Garth board, Jamie Smith, told me the authority had tried its best to weather the storm.
On the day of the clear-up, I did challenge my two clerks. Did they feel that we had done everything we could? And I asked them to question themselves. I think that's right in this sort of scenario. You look to see whether you can. They paused, they thought, and they said, no, we really do think we've funneled all the questions we've had from residents through, usually to the MUA. They themselves, obviously, we've got maintenance guys are up and about in the tributaries and the streams and things like that. They've seen some of the dead wood that's collecting up there. They've passed it on. They were pleased to hear that they generally felt that they'd done everything they could. So we had our board meeting on Wednesday, and I asked the same question, but this time to the entire board as well as to the officers. And there were some minor points that we could do. Obviously, first one was the meeting that the public had been asking for, so that will hopefully go ahead. There were some also members of the public had mentioned that they'd seen some sandbags that were behind a locked gate. It turns out that those were rotten or beyond use and probably waterlogged and wouldn't have been any help. But those residents didn't know that at the time, so probably they should have been removed so that people weren't frustrated at seeing them. And thirdly, there was such generous offers from local businesses and the public, spare rooms, dry bedding, things like that, and also people who were in immediate need. And I don't think those two were always got in contact with each other, so we're probably going to look at printing some leaflets that just say, in all cases, in such a scenario, contact the emergency services joint control room, and hopefully they will then be able to put these two people, the people in need and the people offering generous support, together quicker.
Is it also, I suppose, in these situations now incumbent on the local authority to be demanding a response from central government and from national politicians?
That's the frustration. I think I used the phrase frustration on the day, that we felt we'd done everything we could, and we really, you know, this some of this was, I'm afraid, avoidable in most people's opinion, and ours as a local authority, it was avoidable. So yes, we will continue to push and to really say that. And to be honest, that is the noises I'm coming out. I know the Chief Minister chaired an emergency meeting on Wednesday, and I got the feeling from that yes, obviously the focus was an immediate action, but I think the medium term, they need to put a bit more resources and a bit more focus on action.
Laxey is, as we know, going to receive sea defences at some point, probably, but many people will be turning around and saying, hang on a minute, come on, surely river defences are needed first. What's your opinion on that as the local authority?
I think we need both. We were very fortunate that on Tuesday we did have a spring tide. And part of the problem with the flooding was that there was very little wind and therefore a lot of rain fell. On the other hand, had we had a wind coming in on the coast and had we had severe overtopping on the same day, it would have been considerably worse. They are different departments, rightly or wrongly, that look after these things. There's a budget for the seawall.
Does that contribute to the confusion?
I think it does. Joined up planning is perhaps not as good as it should be. Which is worse, being flooded by the sea or being flooded by the river? Both are bad. Both need attending to. So we shouldn't be looking at money being diverted from one project to another. We should be looking at new money to do a proper project on the river wall. And the seawall will take its course as and when they bring forward their latest plans.
We've seen the objections to the seawall. Do you not think if there was a proposal to raise the river wall and possibly spoil people's views, they'd get similar resistance?
It is a sensitive issue. The Laxey heritage and the industrial heritage is from the top of Snaefell all the way down into the sea, past the Laxey Wheel and past the mills and things like that. And we are accepting that defences are needed and defences will impact. There might be higher walls, but they can always be, that can be eased by nice facings and things like that. And I think a lot of the objections to the seawall weren't that they don't want a seawall at all, but that the possibly the proposal in front of us wasn't the best possible. And the same with the harbour one. And I get the impression in the last few days that they may be revisiting the plans for the harbour wall in the light of the fact that the harbour is more or less the point at which MUA with the rivers and the infrastructure with the seawall come together. So we've effectively got three areas. We've got the river, we've got, and it's all its tributaries and streams. We've got the harbour, which is a special case because it effectively can get flooded from both. And of course, we've got the seafront.
Chairman of the Commission is Jamie Smith and Commissioner Nigel Dobson there. Well, the local authority has organised an emergency public meeting to discuss the recent flooding. Full details yet to be confirmed, but so far the meeting is scheduled to go ahead on Thursday, the 10th of October at 7 p.m. at the Laxey Pavilion in the Glen Gardens. The Chair of Manx Utilities, Dr. Alex Allenson, will be attending with senior officers from his organisation. It's understood Department of Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer has also been invited, along with representatives from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. The meeting will be chaired by Jamie Smith. The Minister for Policy and Reform has unveiled a plan to change the rating system, which could see people in larger homes pay more and those in smaller properties pay less. Chris Thomas wants the tax, which is raised to pay for water, sewage and local services, to be based on the size of a home rather than its rental value. Under this system, each property on the island will be charged a set rate per square metre, with the size of a home determined primarily through aerial photography. Mr Thomas says he's put forward a practical, modern and fair system for rates and issued this message to Tynwald members: you can take it or leave it. He explained more to me.
Area-based, which means the area-based taken from the outside of the property but making adjustments for things like thick walls and wasted corridor space if we're in a flat or an apartment conversion of an old building.
So how will you be able to assess homes obscured from view, flats, as you mentioned, those with thick walls? Because you're using aerial-based photography here, so how does that work in practice?
So the aerial-based photography comes up with an estimate, a first estimate. In most cases, that will be right, but if there's any reason why it would not be right, we can go back and do a further inspection from the outside. We're also combining this with data held elsewhere. So, for instance, we will make an adjustment for some houses if they have thick walls or if they're known to be the sorts of property that has wasted space inside for common shared areas. That's all explained in the report, and the Manx public will look at it because this potentially is getting real now. This will affect how much rates you pay through changing the rateable values.
Will people with larger homes then be paying more for the most part?
More floor area, the more you pay on that basis. So it's not the same as market value. That's a system that's been around for 30 years in the Isle of Man but hasn't been taken forward. This is a different approach. However, the report clearly lays down that there is a potential for discounts for different ways.
So does this assessment method assume that those with larger properties can afford to pay more?
That's a difficult question, but this is related to property. This is raising revenue for local services and also for water and sewage based on property. It's not about income. An alternative would be to try and put everything onto income tax, but only people pay income tax in the Isle of Man and not all people pay income tax. Companies don't pay, but companies currently have property. They will always have property and they pay rates on property. It's not a community charge like was introduced for sewerage over here a while back, or was it called poll tax when it was introduced in the United Kingdom? It's neither of those things. This is a practical approach to make rates more modern and fairer.
How much is this all going to cost the Manx government to implement a new system like this?
A lot less than was previously imagined. So in January 2015, Mr Tier took a resolution, a motion to Tynwald, which got approval, to spend £2 million on self-assessed banded market value. That project dissipated. He announced after about a year or so that it hadn't been budgeted. There was no appetite to do it. He'd leave it to somebody else. So the new government came in. We put it into our programme of government that we made it as an action, that Cabinet Office would set out a full plan for rates modernisation, and that's what we've done. It's on the table, worked up. Components of the new rating system are described very well in the report that Adam's put together with a small amount of outside help and cross-departmental working. Let's go for it if Tynwald are up for it. If not, so be it.
So do we know how much it costs? Sorry, just to get back to that
up
question.
Up to £500,000 is what we currently estimate.
Will this see a greater overall take in rates? Because many are sceptical that a change would lead to more money for the government. But you've been keen to assert that's not the case. Could you explain a bit more?
Yeah, definitely not. Those in the half who pay less than the fair amount will will pay more, and those in the half that pay more than the fair amount will pay less. And also there was a question about whether or not government should pay the 2.2 million that we pay into the rate system, and we concluded we should. So overall it's the same amount. How it's divided up is what changes. There's been a perception for 20 years, 30 years that the system is unfair. This is a way of making it fairer, but any system of fairness will be criticised by those who will pay more, and those who will pay less will keep quiet.
Pending Timmald approval, can you lay out a timeline for when this is going to happen?
Next couple of years, so hoping to go back to Timmald in its branches with legislation before the end of this legislative year, i.e. before June, and also hope to include in the aerial photography work in the spring this activity. So by 2022-23, people could be paying rates in the Isle of Man based on a new system, a modern system, a fair system of rateable values.
But there will be a transition, won't there? You won't suddenly start having to pay loads more or loads less.
And that's a very important point. We asked about that in the consultation, and clearly, as happened in Garth when there was a local authority transition, as would happen, I believe, in Arbury and Russia, and as happened back in Michael and Oncombe when local authorities combined, there clearly needs to be a transition. We asked about 5 years, and that's what we recommended to Timwell members as one of the components of the new system.
So will people be able to challenge the assessment? So if the aerial photography, the drone, whatever, flies over their home and does an assessment, you get the polygons in the post, and people disagree with the findings, will they be able to take that further?
There's two ways to answer that. The first one is, clearly, there'd have to be an administrative process. At least that's how it happened in Guernsey. I think people had up to a year to actually get their own surveyor to disagree with what system our system had generated as being the fair value. And then subsequently, the tribunal system is still in place, so people can appeal. But what we propose is that smaller appeals are disallowed up front to avoid the waste over 5% here or there. But the main point is that in Guernsey, in all of the years of operation, there have been fewer than 40 appeals, only two of those based on area measurements. This system can be very helpful to people, because ultimately if it's perceived to be fair, it should be perceived as fair, because it is fair.
We do have to go back to that consultation and ask why the public haven't been given a say on this new method of assessment. You made this decision internally with the Council of Ministers to present this. It does beg that question. Why didn't you ask the public? Did you not want to hear their answer?
We know the answer of the public because we've consulted them over again. We know the Timwell view because we've had Timwell Committee after Timwell Committee on rates resolution. What we set out in the programme for government in all sorts of areas, including this one, is an action plan to modernise and to reform things where necessary. So we were called on to set out a full plan for rates modernisation. This is a system that works. This is the system that will address those issues. In a way, it's take it or leave it for rates modernisation in this administration. There's been no appetite in Treasury and no capacity in Treasury to do 43,000 market value calculations. The public didn't want to do self-assessment. The evidence shows that given that we're using the values from the late 60s, early 70s, we're not going to have revaluations using the rental value system, and the market value's equally tricky. Mm. So this system works. The updating can be done periodically with the aerial photography. Once we have a computer system in place, the administration costs get cheaper and cheaper. Why wouldn't we take this way forward? Hmm. There's all sorts of discounts and other
elements,
components of the system to make it even fairer. And I hope the public gets behind this. If it needs a bit more time, so be it. We'll take a bit more time. But the crucial thing is we now have a full plan for rates modernisation on the table. Once we get through that, we can then move further on local authority transition or reform. Mm. And I'm up for that as well.
Just finally, one question that has been put to me by actually members of local authorities. There is an acknowledgement across the board the current system is imperfect, it is outdated, it's in need of modernisation. But the question they're asking is it really worth the change at this point? Is it really top of your agenda? Does it need doing that desperately, a revamp of this system?
It's not top of the agenda that I've pursued with Adam. It's not top of Adam's agenda. We've got so much work on in the centre of government. We had, internationally, we had Brexit, Moneyval, beneficial ownership. Domestically, we had to look at...
So, I mean, with that in mind, is it worth it, though? Because some people call it a vote loser doing rates modernisation.
We do what's right. And ever since I've been in the Timwald, which is back in 2013, people have been talking about rates modernisation. They weren't serious. Every election, people say they're going to reform the rates to suit their local constituents. If you're going to have rates modernisation, there's got to be a consensus about the way to do it. There's got to be practical steps that can be taken. There can be a consensus about this because it's not unfair to anybody. It is practical. it's reasonably priced. It will get cheaper and cheaper through time. Not only is it helpful for rates, it's helpful for planning, it's helpful for the emergency services, it's helpful for environmental purposes, it's all sorts of other uses. This is a crucial part in many ways of our digital strategy and of what we call our smart service framework. So I really do hope that Timbal members get behind it, the public can accept it, transition arrangements are put in place, we tweak the system as the legislation goes through, and by 2022-23 we'll have put together yet another of those issues that's been perennial. At the moment, turning around the economy, public sector pension reform, delivering one public service are all more important issues, but we've even had time to tackle this, and it's on the table there for people to have the confidence to take up and use.
Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper has been a consistent critic of the minister's approach to rate reform. He gave me his views on the rates plan.
Is it fair to say that a millionaire pays the same in their water rate as a family of four with two working parents, so at the average salary? And the answer to that is clearly not.
But is it fairer than the system we've currently got?
That's probably an impossible question to answer. At the moment, the system is inequitable because it treats people differently based on where they live. And that is exactly what the new system is going to do as well, because, I mean, at its most basic, properties in the north of the island tend to be around about 10% cheaper than the same property in the Central Valley. And again, that's 10% cheaper than the same property in the south. And so what you're basically saying is you could buy a larger but cheaper property in Ramsay. Now you're paying more in rates for that cheaper property than someone in a slightly smaller but more expensive property in the south of the island. So that is clearly an unfair situation.
But in the consultation, I mean, people were asked about location using the area-based system, and they said they don't want to see it based on location. So in that aspect, he has, honoured the responses in the consultation.
I think the question was location within a rating area. And the actual response, and I think it was a response to one of the questions in the consultation, was quite specific. It was properties should be assessed based on their individual value. And that's the key word here. And this word crops up time and time again throughout the consultation, throughout the previous consultation, throughout the principles that were set out by the council of ministers, throughout the debates, is value. And when someone talks about the value of a house, you think about what's the house worth? Because that intrinsically then links to, well, if I'm buying a bigger house, I must have more money, therefore I must be wealthier, and there it's acceptable then to ask me to contribute slightly more in taxes. But the way that they've interpreted value from the Cabinet Office, from Mr. Thomas's perspective, is he's saying, well, I'm going to assign essentially an arbitrary value to these properties based purely on the square footage. And that's where the whole system falls down, because you're going to be asking people who may be on much lower incomes to pay the same rates as people on much higher incomes. And okay, this isn't an income tax. This is purely a property tax. But even with a property tax, at its very core, it has to be fair for people who are paying it, because at the end of the day, it is people that are paying the tax, not property. So if you've got someone who is being disadvantaged because actually they live in maybe they inherited a slightly larger house than the average, but they happen to live in the north of the island, and so that property is bigger than the same value of property down south, they're now paying more in rates for exactly the same level of service. Don't forget, this is talking about an all-island rate here, the water rate. This isn't based on the amount you consume. They've ruled out things like single occupancy discounts. They're saying it doesn't matter how much water you use, your water rate will be based purely on the size of your property. And that in itself doesn't seem like a particularly fair system. So what was originally proposed back in 2015 was this idea of a capital system whereby the rateable value of your property is linked to a market value, which is self-assessment. So you would basically say, well, I think my property is worth £200,000. I'm in that band, and I'll pay the appropriate level of rates. And I think there were a lot of complications around that. I think people were uncomfortable with the number of bands that were proposed and the levels that were proposed, and people were as well a little bit uncomfortable about this idea of self-assessment. But actually all of our tax system is self-assessment. My income tax form I fill out myself and declare my own income. It's a self-assessment tax form, and it's the same with VAT, that's self-assessment. So why should a self-assessment system not work for property? And I think it all comes back down to this question of value. How do you assess value? And the easiest way of assessing value with a property is clearly monetary value. And this is where I think this whole system is going to struggle.
Well, let me put things differently. If you were put in Minister Thomas's position and tasked with rate reform, how would you have done things differently?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have ignored the results of the first consultation where people said we don't want an area-based rate system. That was 70-something percent of people said no to area-based rates in the first consultation.
But that was 2015, so, you know, things have moved on, haven't they?
I'm not sure they have. This is the problem, is this debate keeps going round and round in circles because Tynwald makes a decision in 2015. It was decided off the back of that consultation to go ahead with a capital-based system.
Which would have cost £2 million, and this cost three quarters of that.
I'm not convinced by either of those numbers, actually. Treasury have set aside £2 million, but in answers that I managed to get from the Treasury Minister in a recent sitting of Tynwald, it looks like that the self-assessment system, which was actually what was being proposed by Treasury, would be cheaper than this new system that's being proposed by Minister Thomas. Now, he's turned around and said that when he did it in Guernsey, it cost £500,000. But that was Guernsey. Guernsey's considerably smaller than the Isle of Man. So how can we know? And when I've asked him that question, what would it cost on the Isle of Man, he hasn't actually provided us with any figures. So we don't know that this new system is going to be cheaper. In reality, that Minister Thomas will tell you that it is, but he hasn't so far backed that up with any evidence. So if I'd been in his shoes, I would have just carried on with what Tynwald had already resolved back in 2015, which was move on with a capital-based system of self-assessment, make sure there's appropriate support in place for people who maybe don't know the value or aren't able to provide an assessment of the value of their own property, and move on from there. That was already approved. The reason it's taken four more years since then is because, actually, this new government has decided to go back to square one rather than carrying on with that process that was started by the previous administration. They've almost decided to say, well, scrap all that, and we'll start again. Mm-hmm. And you'll note that in the consultation, one of the questions they deliberately didn't ask, they didn't ask people, what do you think about area-based valuation methods? And I think the reason they didn't ask that question was because they knew they'd get the same answer they got in 2015, which was, no thanks, we don't think this is a fair or an equitable system.
Well, nothing happened off the back of the 2015 consultation. It got passed to the new administration. Minister Thomas had taken it on. But doesn't that just show that bar Minister Thomas and perhaps a few backbenchers like yourselves who are passionate about this, there's just not the political will to carry through rates reform?
I think that's probably a fair comment, and I think you see it in this document as well, where they haven't talked about a leisure rate, for example. So we have everyone around the Isle of Man pays a contribution towards the local swimming pool, except the eastern authorities. They don't pay anything for the NSC, and the NSC is funded out of central taxes, so everyone pays for the NSC. But the local authorities outside of the east also pay for their local swimming pools. Now, that can't be an equitable system. They didn't ask a question about a leisure rate. They didn't ask questions, really, about the detail of how a non-domestic rate would work. So they asked, should non-domestic, i.e. business rates, be collected centrally and then apportioned out? And just over half of people seem to say, actually, we're OK with that.
None of the local authorities, I'm led to believe.
No, and that's where the political will comes in, is actually they put forward an idea that could have led to some sort of local authority reform by saying, OK, let's start with the business rates. If they'd have pushed that through, which clearly the public had maybe not overwhelming support, but 53% of people, that's more than voted for Brexit.
And we're Brexit going majority, ahead with
that. So they could have taken that and said, you know what, this is maybe a good idea. Let's explore this further.
But wouldn't you risk then having to do basically local authority reform, rather than starting with the rates, but you'd be branching out, wouldn't you?
And I think that might happen anyway. I think off the back, after you sort the rates out, I think the next logical step is then to look at things like local authority reform, because one of the natural questions to ask after you've sorted out the rate system is, well, actually, why do we have so many small local authorities that aren't providing some services? And it might be that off the back of that, you don't make any changes, but at least if you have a fair and equitable way of paying for local authorities, that might even take some of the sting out of the local authority reform debate. If everyone says, actually, we're all pretty comfortable with the way we're paying for our local authorities, maybe there's no need then to push local authority reform any further. But because they haven't grabbed the bull by the horns and decided to go for some of these slightly more contentious issues, perhaps, that would have required a strong political will, I think we're just going to end up not really making any significant progress this time around, and we could be having the same conversation in a couple of years when the next Minister for Policy and Reform decides to have another pop at rate reform.
Rate reform and local authority modernisation, are they vote losers?
I think they're the third rail of Manx politics in some ways. I think that may be the problem, is that there isn't a great deal of support out there for either. I mean, you look in some constituencies where rate reform is an issue, and it's because there's a view that the current system is unfair, that people in the towns perhaps are paying higher rates than people in the parishes who are using all the services in the towns. So there is a definite need, I think, to revamp the system. But when you cut it right back to its core, is it a conversation that a lot of people really want to be involved in? Probably not. I think people are more interested in making sure that we're having conversations about delivering a good education system and a good healthcare system and the right size police force. They're conversations people can get behind. When you're talking about moving the goalposts, essentially, with rate reform, you're not going to generate any more money. It's just about taking money from the left hand and giving money to the right hand. that isn't a conversation that I think fires people up. So whilst rate reform can and potentially will be of benefit to a lot of people around the island, I think you're right. It's a difficult conversation to get started.
Well, let's throw forward, and I know you're not going to preempt any debate, but how do you think this will go down in Tynwald?
I think it's going to be a tricky one. I think the decision that Chris Thomas has made to completely sidestep this issue of value and try and sort of create an entirely new way of measuring property value, I think that might come back to bite him. I think that's a complex part of the discussion that doesn't seem has been had properly.
Will you be biting him?
I think I will be on that issue. And I think on the issue as well of the inability to tackle commercial rates, I think that is an issue. The fact they haven't touched on the leisure rate. There's a lot of holes in this proposal, I think. And I think there's a lot of trust is needed, because I know what Chris will say. He'll say, well, we'll deal with all these detailed questions later. Let's get the principles agreed. But the problem is, without agreeing or at least talking about some of the detail, I think I'm quite nervous, and I think a number of other Tynwald members might be quite nervous about approving these principles without really knowing where we're going, really knowing where the direction of travel is. Mm-hmm. And I think that might cause Chris some difficulty in the next couple of weeks.
Well, if it gets thrown out or delayed, do you think you'll have killed rates reform for this administration?
I think that's a real risk, and that's why, from my perspective, I don't want to see this get thrown out. I would much rather see the government accept that it's not a perfect proposal, and that actually they need to provide us with some firm commitments about how they're going to deal with the disparity in values across the island, about how they're going to deal with issues like leisure rates, and how they're going to deal with things like how are we going to address this commercial rate, and how is this going to tie into local authority reform, if at all. And I think if they can do that, there might be some way of gaining traction on this and actually taking it to the next step. But from my perspective, we'd be much better off actually as Tynwald having a real debate around what should rates look like.
Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online via the Manx Radio website or via Spotify as a podcast. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.